In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we ask you to help us make this time of prayer fruitful, this loving conversation with you. We ask pardon for our sins, because we all sin. And today we pray about one of the effects of sin, which is hell, eternal punishment, eternal separation from you. And if we pray about this reality which you have revealed, with your grace we can avoid going to hell. But hell exists, and you are the one that speak of it so often. In your description of the Last Judgment, in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, you speak about the Son of Man coming in his glory with his angels to judge the living and the dead, separating the good from the bad, and to those on his left hand, the wicked, saying, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink." And you go on, and we know the words. And then they will ask, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And hell is eternal. It is forever. With those two principal forms of suffering, the pain of loss, which you describe when you say, "Depart from me." To be forever separated from you. We were made for you. Our heart is restless until it rests in you, as St. Augustine wrote. It will never rest in you. It will be separated from you forever. And then that pain of sense, the fire. "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Eternal fire. The soul will never be released from hell. It is forever. It's a dreadful thought. And you spoke about hell at other times. And the Catechism says in number 1034, Jesus often speaks of Gehenna, of the unquenchable fire reserved for those who to the end of their lives refuse to believe and be converted, where both soul and body can be lost. Jesus solemnly proclaims that he will send his angels, and they will gather all evildoers and throw them into the furnace of fire, and that he will pronounce the condemnation, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire." You warned us about hell. You spoke too about the wide road that leads there, and the narrow gate that goes to eternal life with you in heaven. And we read your words in the 7th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, to hell. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Lord, it is easy to go to hell, and we know that. It is so much easier. Just commit whatever sins you want. Enjoy the good life. Don't repent. It is easy in one sense, and it's hard in another, because it's difficult to live with a troubled conscience, knowing that we are doing wrong. We were made for you. We were made for love. There's no love in mortal sin. Help us to be aware of this reality of hell. And if we ask the question, who goes to hell? The Catechism answers, to die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from him forever by our own free choice. This state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed is called hell. To be separated from you by our own free choice, because we didn't repent at the end of our mortal sins. We didn't accept your merciful love, and you are ever rich in mercy, ready to pardon the sinner, no matter how many sins and how grievous those sins he or she may have committed, always ready to forgive in your divine mercy. But it is a reality that if we do not repent, hell awaits us. And St. John Chrysostom comments, it is true that the pain of hell is unbearable, but if someone were capable of imagining 10,000 hells, the suffering would be nothing compared to the pain of having lost heaven and of being rejected by Christ. And really, Lord, the soul rejects you. You don't reject us. We are the ones who are unjust in our life. And we read in the prophet Ezekiel your words on that in the 18th chapter. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die for it. For the iniquity which he has committed, he shall die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions which he had committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. So turn and live. And Lord, this is your mercy. Always ready to forgive. You do not want anyone to be lost. You want all to live. And yes, it is so true. We are the unjust ones. And help us to live in such a way that we don't have to even think of hell. But we thank you for revealing it to us. We know the consequence of unrepented mortal sin. And you don't predestine anyone to hell. As the Catechism says, God predestines no one to go to hell. For this, a willful turning away from God, a mortal sin, is necessary, and persistence in it until the end. In the Eucharistic liturgy and in the daily prayers of her faithful, the Church implores the mercy of God, who does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. We will sin, but Lord, help us to repent. And you have done us the favor of showing many people visions of hell. Amongst them, the three children at Fatima. Those three young children. Lucy was only 10, Francisco 9, and Jacinta 7. And they saw a vision of hell, which they described like this: a sea of fire, and plunged in this fire the demons and the souls as if they were red-hot coals, transparent and black or bronze-colored, with human forms which floated about in the conflagration, borne by the flames which issued from it with clouds of smoke, falling on all sides as sparks fall in great conflagrations, without weight or equilibrium, among shrieks and groans of sorrow and despair, which horrify and cause to shudder with fear. The devils were distinguished by horrible and loathsome forms of animals, frightful and unknown, but transparent like black coals that have turned to red hot. And Lord, you showed them that vision, and they would have been frightened to see it, and they would never have forgotten it. It was in the July apparition in 1917, and afterwards Our Lady taught them to say that prayer that we say at the end of each mystery of the Rosary, the so-called Fatima prayer. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fire of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. And Lord, we say that prayer automatically, but let us ponder the words. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. We have sinned. Forgive us our sins. Save us from the fire of hell. We say fire because that is what you have revealed. Save us from the fire of hell. Bring all souls to heaven, ourselves and all souls, especially those in most need of thy mercy. And so many people on earth today, living in mortal sin, living far from you, offending you, and not sorry for their sins. And we beg you, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. Help them to be aware of what awaits them, and Lord, help us to help them too. We have the blessing of knowing and believing in hell, that teaching of the church. It's a dogma of faith. And so many do not know this, and they need us to help them, to give them good example in the first place, to pray for them, and when it is opportune, to speak to them about their life and how they're not happy living that way and how they can repent and God will forgive them. And if they are Catholic, they can come back through that gateway of the sacrament of penance. And Lord, help us to do everything we can to avoid going to hell, which means avoid sinning, avoid the occasions of sin. We know what they will be for each one of us. It might be programs we watch on television, sites we access on the internet, books or magazines or articles we read, conversations with people who can lead us into sin, going to certain places where we would be more inclined to sin. Lord, help us to stay away from those occasions, and to avoid even the venial sins, because they inevitably lead to a lessening of our love for you and to mortal sins, and to go regularly to confession. You have given us this great sacrament of mercy, and you will take us back no matter how many times we fall. As Pope Francis said in his apostolic exhortation on evangelization, the joy of the gospel, God never tires of forgiving us. It is we who tire of seeking his forgiveness. You will always forgive, but help us to seek your forgiveness regularly in that sacrament of penance. And the Kyrie of ours speaks about the importance of that sacrament, and he puts it in a very graphic way, as he often does. In this case, juxtaposing the sacrament of penance and the reality of hell. He says in his Catechesis on Confession, "My children, we cannot comprehend the goodness of God towards us in instituting this great sacrament of penance. If we had had a favor to ask of our Lord, we should never have thought of asking him that. But he foresaw our frailty and our inconstancy in well-doing, and his love induced him to do what we should not have dared to ask. If one said to those poor lost souls that have been so long in hell, 'We are going to place a priest at the gate of hell,' all those who wish to go out have only to confess. Do you think, my children, that a single one would remain? The most guilty would not be afraid of telling their sins, nor even of telling them before all the world. Oh, how soon hell would be a desert, and how heaven would be populated. Well, we have the time and the means which those poor lost souls have not. We can still go to confession. Those souls in hell cannot. It is too late. Lord, help us to go regularly to confession, and that in turn will help us to avoid committing those sins. The more often we go to confession, the stronger we will be, the more grace we will have to avoid committing sins. And again, the Kyrie of ours in his Catechesis on Sin expresses this so beautifully. "My children," he says, "if you saw a man prepare a great pile of wood, heaping up faggots one upon another, and when you asked him what he was doing, he were to answer you, 'I am preparing the fire that is to burn me,' what would you think? And if you saw this same man set fire to the pile, and when it was lighted, throw himself upon it, what would you say? This is what we do when we commit sin. It is not God who casts us into hell. We cast ourselves into it by our sins. The lost souls will say, 'I have lost God, my soul, and heaven. It is through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault.' He will raise himself out of the fire only to fall back into it. He will always feel the desire of rising because he was created for God, the greatest, the highest of beings, the most high. As a bird shut up in a room flies to the ceiling and falls down again, the justice of God is the ceiling which keeps down the lost." They prepared that fire themselves through their sins and then threw themselves into hell. And as the Kyrie of ours said, "It is not God who casts us into hell. We cast ourselves into it by our sins." And that's what the Catechism had said in that passage we read, and let us read it again. "To die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from him forever by our own free choice. This state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed is called hell. We are separated, Lord, from you by our own free choice." And Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became Pope Benedict XVI, in that series of interviews published in the book God is Near Us, comments on why there are souls in hell and why God doesn't take everyone with him to heaven. He says, "God never in any case forces anyone to be saved. God accepts man's freedom. He is no magician who will, in the end, wipe out everything that has happened and wheel out his happy ending. He is a true father, a creator who assents to freedom, even when it is used to reject him. That is why God's all-embracing desire to save people does not involve the actual salvation of all. He allows us the power to refuse. God loves us. We need only to summon up the humility to allow ourselves to be loved. But we do have to ask ourselves again and again whether we are not possessed of the pride of wanting to do it for ourselves, whether we do not rob man as a creature, along with the Creator God, of all his dignity and stature, by removing all element of seriousness from the life of man and degrading God to a kind of magician or grandfather who is unmoved by anything. Even on account of the unconditional greatness of God's love, indeed, because of that very quality, the freedom to refuse, and thus the possibility of perdition, is not removed. And Lord, it's true, you love us. You want all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You became man. You emptied yourself of the Godhead. You took the nature of the slave. You dwelt amongst us. You died on the cross. You suffered that pain to save us. You do want all to be saved. You gave us the church to show us the way, to teach us the Ten Commandments. You gave us the seven sacraments, baptism, to give us your grace, your divine life, the beginning of eternal life, the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of mercy, so that when we fall, and we will, we can go back and be forgiven. You could not have done more to help us go to heaven. If someone is not saved, it is through his own fault. And you are that merciful Father. I always think that it is like the father of the prodigal son. When the son asked for the share of the inheritance which was his, the father would have been very saddened. And he would have done everything to dissuade his son. He would have said, "Son, stay with us. We need you. We love you. Your brother, your parents love you. We need you here. Don't go away. You might get lost. You might lose all of that money." But what did he do? When the son insisted, he respected his freedom. He let him go, because a good father respects the freedom of his children. God does. The father of the prodigal son does. He doesn't chain him to the house. He lets him go. And then he welcomes him back. And this is God in his mercy, welcoming back the sinner. He races out to meet him, embraces him, kisses him, puts the ring on his finger, the best robe, the sandals on his feet, and they kill the fatted calf, and they make merry, because this son of mine was lost and is found, was dead and is alive. This is God welcoming back the sinner. Lord, you could not be more merciful. We are the ones who reject you. We are the ones who are unjust. And C.S. Lewis, in his book The Great Divorce, says similar words to the Catechism and to Cardinal Ratzinger. He says, speaking of the end of life of individuals, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." I can always imagine God shaking his head, looking at that sinner who does not want to repent, and having to say, "Thy will be done." As if to say, if you want to go to hell, thy will be done. C.S. Lewis goes on, all that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek find. To those who knock, it is opened. Lord, help us to be aware of this reality, to avoid hell ourselves by doing all the good works we can, by staying close to you in prayer, by receiving the sacraments regularly, growing in love, growing in holiness. Then we are less inclined to offend you, whom we love above all things. And when we fall, go back to confession. And not only to be concerned about our own soul, because around us are so many lost sheep, often in our own families. They do not go to Mass. They do not go to confession. Perhaps they do not pray. Maybe they say they don't believe in God. And these are people who once were Catholics, members of our same family, that we pray for them, that we give them good example, that we speak with them, remind them of the love of God, of His mercy, of the benefit of the sacraments. And yes, too, we can remind them of the reality of hell. But we don't emphasize hell. We emphasize heaven and love and mercy. And Lord, help us to do this so that we can live well and we can die well. And we can not only go to heaven ourselves, but help many others to accompany us there. You want all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and you need us to help others. And we go to Our Lady. Mary, you are Mother of Mercy. You are help of Christians, refuge of sinners, gate of heaven. Help us to live our lives as you did, always striving to do the will of God, and be there when we die. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.